Yeah, baby. Sorry about that. I'm trying to find my guest for Beer on the Balcony, but I don't know what the fuck is going on with Chauncey. I've now emailed him 3 times. You can't depend on anybody in this business, I swear to God. Where the fuck is he? I don't know. Skull! Little Monster energy drink. Figured I'll be like Hal Sparks and drink the energy drinks. He seems to have a lot of energy. Probably boosts up his IQ. Skull! Well, I don't know where the fuck Chauncey is. There's the link if you want to donate. Thanks, Joy Hine. Great shows this week. I agree. Thank you, Kinky Streets. Plenty of fun on your own. I agree. I don't really need a guest. I like to do that for you guys. But me personally, I was born with the gift of gab. I can talk about anything, anywhere, at any time. No matter what the topic. I'll let you guys ask me what to talk about. And then I'll talk about it. But first, let's get those beers out. Let's get that weed out. Let's smoke them up and skull! What a great show today. You know, Glenn and then Hal and Richard. It's like I feel like they're my brothers at this point. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, when you have people on, you develop like a rapport, a relationship. Like, I know Hal doesn't get mad, you know, when I interrupt because, you know, I'm very patient, but then, you know, I only have it a lot of time. So then I'll just, but he's cool with it. And I know he is because, you know, he understands. And, you know, so it's very easy. And I'll be magic. I always try and let everybody speak to the end. I don't like to interrupt. You know, I'd rather listen. But, you know, I also like to get all the information. Like, for instance, I only had Glenn Kirshner on for 20 minutes. I needed a lot of questions answered in 20 fucking minutes. You know? I mean, we got Steve Bannon, we got Trump, we got Rittenhouse, we got Arbery. I mean, thanks, Joy. Yeah, I really try not to interrupt. I usually wait till Hal's winding down. Yeah, I did my short ribs last night. I don't know. I cooked them for over 4 hours at 275, just like the fucking thing said. And they did fall off the bone. They said that would mean they were done. I think the meat was just a little fatty. I think I got some fatty meat because the parts that weren't fat were good. But, you know. And did I even have a side? No. Tonight I'm doing chicken thighs. I put them at 400 for 38 minutes. I season them with salt, pepper, thyme, and hot pepper flakes. And I love it. The skin, the crispy skin. Oh my God, I wish they could bag that. It is so good. Oh. Getting hungry just thinking about it. And then I have my, either I'll do an artichoke, or I'll do a cucumber salad. I really don't know where Chauncey is. You know what? I tell you what I can do. Let me see. Hold on. I'm going to try this one time. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. Let me see. Let's see where the fuck Chauncey is. Yeah, fuck. I got to get phone numbers instead of just dealing with people on Facebook. I swear to you. All right. All right. Let's see. Let's see if he gets back to me, the prick. Now I'm getting pissed. Let's see. See if he's here yet. No, still not here. Try one last time. All right, we'll try one last time, and then I'm done. You know, Just let me see. All right. It was a time difference. So maybe he's coming on now. Okay, he's on. All right. All right. I had a feeling. All good. All good, Chance, my man. I did have a feeling it was a time difference. So he should be on any second. Skull! John, you salt, pepper, all Greek seasoning with your peppers. With my peppers. You mean like stuffed peppers? I love stuffed peppers. Drinking my energy drink. He should be here any second. As we wait for Chauncey Hayden, let me just tell you who he is. He was the editor of a New Jersey magazine called Stepping Out. And it was Stepping Out. And he became like, you know, a normal caller into the Stern Show. He was a guest on the Stern Show. I was in his magazine on a number of occasions. Nice guy. He lives, I believe, now in Ireland. And I'm just waiting for him to get set up there. I see him walking around. He's bald as fuck now. Let's see when he's ready. Everybody, there he is, Chauncey Hayden. Chauncey, how are you?
Hey, John, how's it going?
Were you always bald?
Yeah, I was. I mean, not as bald as I am now, because I shaved my head totally. But I'm a victim of the Steve Gorillo disease.
Which is?
What were they called? Those motherfuckers. The guys used to advertise on the Stern Show that would do the implants.
Oh, you get that bad fucking hair.
Yes.
Replacement therapy.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Billy West, Grillo, and me. The three of us.
Yeah, that was, I mean, Grillo's head looked like it got fucking, like action.
It was so bad. And the guys that did it weren't even doctors. They were garbage men.
Really?
Do you know this story? It was on the front page of the New York Daily News. So I think his name was Dr. Herzag. Anyway, he wasn't doing the surgery. He was training the guys that cleaned the office to do the surgery.
Oh my God.
You had these guys with no medical background at all were coming in and butchering people's heads. Yeah, it was really bad, John.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't make it up. So they scalped us. They scalped us. It was awful.
Oh, you know, CB said Billy talked about it on the round table that we did. So I knew I heard a little bit about that.
Yep, it was really bad. And these guys, they did it for free, so they sucked us in. You know, they all, because we were associated with the Stern Show, they didn't charge us.
I got fucked too. The Complete Dental did these two veneers. I said, hey, if I don't like it, could I get it removed? Yo, yes, of course. Turns out you can't because they scrape off all your enamel. And I never liked this gap in between my teeth. So now I'm stuck. And every 10 years they break and it costs me $5,000 to get them fixed.
Are you serious? And that was from the Stern Show?
Yeah, another Stern Show sponsor.
Oh, my God.
Dental fucked me.
Oh, my God. And you get what you pay for, John. You really do. We were guinea pigs for these advertisers.
I know. Now, Charles, you're in Ireland, right?
I am. I'm in the middle of buttfuck Ireland, yeah.
What part of Ireland?
Not the fun part. Like, I'm in the middle near the border where all the troubles were back in the 80s. So everyone's angry. Everyone's in a bad mood. Nobody trusts anybody. There's sheep and horses and cows. And it's like living 100 years ago.
Why did you move there?
So I'm here because of my daughter. I met a girl in Times Square, Rosie O'Grady's, and we had a thing, and she got pregnant and went back to Ireland. But I was still working the magazine business in New York, living in Jersey City. And one day I'm with my girlfriend and we get a letter in the mail, and it's a big fat letter. And she goes, "Who do you know in Dublin?" I'm like, I don't know anybody. "In Dublin where? Dublin, Ireland?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Open it up." And it's pictures of this little baby that looks like me. And
That poor kid.
I know. I set myself up. I set her up for that. But yeah, so from that day on, my life changed. I got rid of everything. I sold everything I owned. I quit everything. And I got on a plane, one-way ticket to Ireland. And I looked for her and went to court and fought for years to be her legal guardian and get on the birth certificate.
Did you leave the girlfriend that you were with in Jersey City?
Yeah. Oh yeah. She was out of there. Like that was.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Chauncey, you and I go way back. I mean, it's like, it's crazy in a way, because I remember you once, like, I think like I was on your cover a couple of times. A
couple of times. I took a picture of you in the green room of the Channel 9 studio, and you were holding a banana in your hand. And that was the first time you were on the cover, if you remember. That's like in the early 90s. In the early 90s, you and I first met, and I put you on the cover of the magazine.
Stepping Out, STEPPIN with the
apostrophe. Right, apostrophe, yeah.
But I remember, I thought the first cover I on was like, it was like a purple cover or something.
It was. You have a great, that's absolutely right. It was a purple cover.
Dude, my memory's impeccable. You know, it's a blessing and it's also a fucking disease.
Because you wish you could forget a lot of it, right?
Yes. Especially meeting you.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I was a disaster.
No, actually, I always liked you, Chauncey. Did we ever have any fights?
You and I never had a fight. I mean, you might have got mad at me once or twice. I think, you might have got mad at me once or twice, but
something that you wrote.
Mild things. Like nothing.
Yeah, something you wrote in the, like you mentioned something I didn't want you to mention.
Yeah, something like that. But mine.
Only because I was afraid Howard was going to fucking freak out or something.
Right. Yeah, because I interviewed everybody on the show, and everyone that did an interview with me always got in trouble. You know, everybody got in trouble. Fred, Gary, Robin, anyone who talked to me got, you know, dragged over the coals.
I'll tell you. And that's why that I wanted you to have you on, because I have to ask you. Yeah. Do you listen to Howard anymore?
No, I don't. People are going to think I'm making this up. I haven't listened to a Howard Stern show since 2006. I swear to God I haven't. I can't. It's like post-traumatic stress syndrome. Like, I can't hear that show in my ears. I don't want to hear it. So, no, I don't listen. I haven't listened to it in a long, long time.
Yeah, I stopped when they went to Sirius, because I'm like, I'm not going to pay to hear myself get insulted, you know?
That's when I stopped. And you were instrumental in helping me get over all that shit, because I went out very ugly. Like, you and I both did, but I went out as bad as it can ever get. Like, I was on the front page of the New York Post.
Why? What happened?
Well, things were going good with me and the Stern Show. Like, I was lined up for a job at Sirius. I was on every single day. I was getting up there like one of the big people on the show. And, Howard goes on vacation. It was a vacation week. And that Friday, I got a subpoena in the mail from the Securities Exchange Commission in New York. And it was a subpoena to testify against Howard for insider stock trading.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was on ABC News at night doing a segment on gossip, and Gigi Stone, I don't know if you remember, she was one of the she was the host of the show. As we're ending the segment, she goes, "You know, Howard, is he going to renew his contract at K-Rock?" And I said, "Absolutely not." I said, and she goes, "What's he going to do?" I said, "Bet the farm, bet everything you have that he's going to Sirius." She goes, "And Sirius was nothing then, you know, it was a joke." And she said, "Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't he go to XM?" I said, "Because Opie and Anthony are on XM. He's not going to go there. He's gonna go to Sirius, and he's going to reinvent that whole station. It's going to change everything." Well, 6 months later, I'm in the studio with Howard, and he says, stop the show. I got to make an announcement. Chauncey, shut up for a second. He goes, "I'm going to go to Sirius. That I've made my mind up." So the SEC put two and two together and said, "Wait a second. This guy, Chauncey, he's on the show all the time. He went on ABC News. He made an announcement to put all your money into Sirius stock. And then he's in the studio and Howard says he's going to Sirius. This is Martha fucking Stewart. There's something going on here. Howard set this guy up to boost his stock." And they subpoenaed me. So I called Gary.
Did you have inside information?
No, it was a wild, stupid guess. I could have been as wrong as I was right.
Why don't you put your phone somewhere that's stable so you're not moving around all the time?
Oh, sorry about that. So I called Gary, and this is the night before when I got the subpoena. And he goes, "Oh, it's probably a joke. Throw it out. Don't listen to it." I called Jason. He laughed. I called Dominic. He said, "Oh, you know, it's a joke. Don't worry about it." Well, it wasn't a joke. It was real. And I sent a subpoena to my buddy at the New York Post, who was the business editor. He said, "Let me look at it. I'll tell you if it's real or not." He doesn't call me back. He doesn't say anything. This is the Friday. Howard's gone on vacation. On Saturday morning, I go to Dunkin' Donuts, and there's the New York Post with Howard's name on it, on the cover, with my subpoena. You know Howard. Can you imagine Howard's on St. Bart's, and he gets that call from Don Buchwald saying, "Howard, are you sitting down?" You and Chauncey on the front page of the New York Post this morning. Yeah.
So then what happened? He said, "Get the fuck out of my, you know."
He doesn't do it like that. He came back from vacation, and I'd done a bunch of interviews. I wanted Neil Cavuto for an hour to discuss it. I gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal. CNN did a piece on it. It was world news. Howard's going to prison, and this is the guy that's going to send him. So Howard comes back a week later, and this is a week of damage. And he gets on the air and goes, "So, Robin, Chauncey was on a media tour while we were on vacation. He did a media tour." And I call in, and he goes, "What do you want?" And I said, "Howard, I want to explain." He goes, "Nah, no reason to explain. Goodbye. Goodbye, Chauncey." And he hung up. And then that was it.
Why did your whole picture go dark? I mean, like, you're darker than you were before. Is there a light?
I'll fix that. Hold on.
Did a light go off or something?
Yeah, I live in Ireland. When the wind blows, the power goes out. Okay, how's is this better?
Yeah, but keep the camera steady. Come on.
Let me see if I can set it down. Let me set it down. Hold on a second. Hold on.
Holy shit. It looks like you ate one of those goats.
I'm skinnier than I've ever been. It's just a bad angle. Hold on. Hold on. Let me do it this way.
Hey, how old's your daughter now?
So she's 9 now, and in fact, we're coming to New York. She's nine. We're coming to New York next week, actually. It'll be our first time in New York. So we're pretty excited about that.
All right. So now, Chauncey.
Yeah.
I didn't know. That's a great story. I didn't know. So yeah. Then, like, anytime, did you try and call in after that?
Yeah. I tried a few times, but the brick wall was built. Jason and Will weren't taking my calls anymore. So,
you know, that's what pisses me off about them. And I love Jason and Will, but you know what, man? Fuck you. If fucking Howard tells you, "Oh, don't talk to him," They follow Howard like fucking sheep.
They, John, they all did. Every
the only one guy who doesn't, I'll tell you what, the only one who doesn't is Ronnie. He don't give a shit. He's the only guy that'll go, fuck that. He'll still talk to people.
Ronnie hated me because of the Scores movie. I did a script on Scores, and so he hated me for that. So he wasn't talking to me anyway. But the only one who really stayed in touch and was friends with me was Jim Florentine. He said, fuck them, fuck that. You know, you're a good guy. You know, you can always, you know, I'll have your back. But all the others, Sal, Will, Jason, Gary, Artie. It was like I stabbed a mother in the heart. You know what I mean?
I'm shocked Artie would like, you know, go along with that, because Artie's pretty much a self-made man.
If you didn't hate me, then you were stabbing Howard. I think Howard kind of had a meeting about it, and it was so bad that
Howard did.
Yeah. And said, I don't want anyone talking to him. I don't want anyone associating with him. You know that happened.
And you didn't do anything wrong. You just took a wild guess.
Took a wild guess. And then I asked for their help, and they all said, blow it off. But then it was real. And, you know, it was my – and I had a lawyer who said, dude, you can just say one wrong thing, and they can put you in jail. Like, they can – it sounds stupid, but they can. He said, you got to be careful what you do. So, and Howard wasn't, you know, he didn't have my back. He didn't give a shit. So,
Howard would never have anybody's back.
No, doesn't have anyone's back. He did the same thing when Debbie died, and the family yep. sued. Debbie Tay died. He did the same thing to me. Everyone said to me, you know, you should join that lawsuit. You know, they're going to make big money. You have a case. You have a good case. You should sue him too. And I said, no, that's not how I am. You know, he's been good to me.
But why did they? Just for everybody who's concerned, Debbie Tay committed suicide, I believe, and then Howard played with her remains on the air, which was fucking sick.
He took the top of the box off of the ashes and lifted all the pieces of bone and held it up to the camera.
Yeah, which was fucking sick.
It was crazy.
I never touched. But why could you? Why could have you sued on that?
Because I could have said, listen, the I was told that to bring in the ashes and have a memorial. There was no discussion of lifting that box top off and holding the ashes and the bones up and mocking Debbie in that way. I could have said, I'm as traumatized from it as the family. You know, like Howard never said, I'm going to take the bones out of the box. I could have said, listen, I'm traumatized. This guy, you know, lied to me. He said I could promote the fact that where you go to get help if you're a heroin addict, the Harms recovery group on Houston Street. He never did it. He never said a word about it, and never did on the E Show. Never put the address up. He lied about all that. So I kind of got bamboozled, you know, and it was all a big joke.
But see, Chauncey, isn't that the MO of Howard? Like, people don't understand. Like I hate when people say how great of a guy Howard is. They don't know, like, how big of a scumbag Howard could be, you know?
No, yeah. Well, more people know about it now. But at that time, Howard was huge. He could do no wrong. That's when the website, or the blog, that Stern Fan Network was huge. And you know, people could destroy you on it. I mean, they would stalk you. I had one woman, a housewife in Ohio, threatened to put a bullet in my head, and they put her in jail for it. She I think she actually went on, she did something. I think she went on the round table once, and she talked about it. She said she was going to put a bullet in my head and do it for Howard. And it seemed more real than the others I normally get, because I used to get a lot of that. And I gave it to the local police station. I said, look, if I end up with a bullet in my head, this is probably the person that did it. You know, there it is. There's her address. They gave it to a prosecutor that looks into internet crimes. And they had an agent in Ohio knock on a door and say, listen, did you send this email to this guy saying you're going to kill him, put a bullet in his head? She goes, yeah. You go, well, we just need you to say it's a joke and we'll go on our way. She goes, no, I'm going to find him and kill him. And I'm going to shoot him in the head. They said, you don't understand. We're not part of the Stern Show. We're real. Like, if you don't say it's a joke, we have to arrest you. And she wouldn't take it back. So they put her in jail. Yeah. And then Howard goes, oh, Chauncey, big man, put a housewife in jail. And I had nothing to do with it. Once she sent that, it was out of my hands. You know, I had nothing to do with that.
I'm just getting, CB seems to know everything about you. I just remembered something crazy. Chauncey brought in Beatles' sister while trying to win John's job. That appearance of Lester's sister was amazing. Thank you, Chauncey.
Yeah. No one knew that Beetlejuice had a sister that had the exact same disease that he has.
Oh, Jesus.
And I found her, and I got her and her mother to come on the show that week I auditioned and brought her into the studio. It was Stern, one of the biggest moments in Stern folklore. But of course, no one can talk about it or show it because it's me. And I can't be a part of that. So the old time fans remember that and how big that was. But you won't see it today because, you know, I don't exist. I was canceled.
And then CB says the whole staff is in fear. Sal stopped coming into the studio because it was traumatizing him too much. And on our Gary said Sal won't even come here anymore. He always uses my squawk box or JD's squawk box. And then the CB's all over this. In the Scores Owner's book, Chauncey, he says that a famous person was in love with a lesbian stripper with a live-in wife, but that Howard thought she was straight and single and loved him. Was that Howard?
Say that again. I missed something there. Say it again.
In the Scores Owner's book, he says that a famous person was in love with a lesbian stripper with a live-in wife, but that Howard thought she was straight and single and loved him. Was that Howard? I guess they're asking if that was Howard.
That I don't know, but I do know for a fact that Howard got one of the girls pregnant there and that he bought her SUV to abort the baby and to kill the story. And Richard Johnson ended up putting it in the New York Post and Page Six. And Howard never sued because he didn't want that story becoming more public than it was.
Wait a second. Yeah. That's true?
That's a true story. Yeah.
Is that while he was married to Allison?
What year was that? Now, I have to go back and remember the year. I don't know for sure if he was breaking, if he had left her at that point or they were about to. They were living separate lives at that point.
Wow.
Yeah. So she got an SUV, a BMW, or it was a Mercedes, a BMW, SUV. And she told,
had an abortion.
Yeah.
CB says the celebrity was flooded with money and trying to start a life with the dancer, and the owner had to sit him down and explain it to the celebrity. I cannot believe the getting pregnant story. Chauncey, is that true?
That's true. I know it's true. And I can't tell you why I know it's true, but it's true. And I've told this story before. I've never been sued. And Richard Johnson was never sued and never retracted the story. Now, you know Howard. If it was a lie, that story would have been retracted.
Holy shit. Yeah. Have you said this on any other show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why hasn't it been like all over the place?
Because I'm canceled. Like you, I don't exist. John, you're talking to a ghost. I don't exist.
You exist and you exist in Ireland. And with that red beard, you look perfect for the part.
I'm turning into a leprechaun. Every minute I'm here, my ears get pointier. I'm growing a tail.
I gotta tell you, Chauncey, I've never heard that story.
Do you know the wig story? Did I ever tell you the wig story?
No, tell the wig story.
All right. So one of my advertisers stepping out was Farrell Hair Systems, right? Richard Farrell. He was all over the country and all over the world. He had an office in Paris, in New York, and if you Google him now and look at his face, tell me he wears his own hair system. Who does he look like? That will be the, if you look at it now, that'll be a giveaway to the end of the story. So anyway, I go there. He's an advertiser and I need to collect money for his ad. So he goes, no problem. I'm just finishing up with a client. He goes, sit in my, in the VIP office and just hang out and I'll meet you in a little bit. So I'm in there and on the wall, there's a picture of Howard. And Howard says, to Richard, thanks for everything, Howard. Right? And Howard has that long flowing mane of hair. So he comes in and I'm like, wow, you know, that's Howard. Why is he saying thank you? What'd you do for him? He goes, well, that's between you and me. But he goes, you know, look at the hair. What do you think I did for him?
Whoa.
Yeah. And if you Google
that on other shows?
What?
Have you told that on other shows?
Yeah, yes.
Why don't I hear about this?
I don't know. You don't get out enough. So Google Richard Farrell, and if you look at him, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. He's like Howard's twin brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, Chauncey, I swear to God, like, I've always liked you. And, you know, I just, like, I was on Facebook, and I go, oh, there's Chauncey. Yeah, let me ask him to come on. I had no idea of all the revelations.
Oh, I got so, John, I got so many stories from my year. I was on the show for almost 20 years. And you don't do that kind of show for almost 20 years and not have stories to tell, you know?
All right, Gary, does he have a fucking girlfriend?
I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know. I would assume he does, but I would only be a, that's only common sense. But I don't know if he does or not. I don't.
All right. AJ Benza.
Yeah. I love AJ.
Do you?
I know you guys fall in and out of love.
No. I think he's a prick, to be honest with you.
You guys have ideology differences. You know, your politics are completely different. And that's why you keep battling each other. If you guys didn't talk about politics, you'd love each other.
I don't even mention the prick. It's just like out of nowhere, he starts texting me with this fucking machismo mafioso. AJ, just shut the fuck up. You ever want to fucking fight with me? You know where I live.
You have two guys with egos, with different beliefs in life. They're going to clash. You're going to clash.
No, I don't do anything. He comes to my Facebook. And I just like would like just saying that Trump supporters are like, you know.
I saw it. Know, I saw it.
Are I racist. And he starts arguing with me.
You know.
And I'm like, AJ, why? So then out of nowhere, he starts fucking like anger texting me. And I like AJ. And I'm like, why the
I know you do.
I'm like, why is this guy fucking, you know, and then trashing me. And I'm like, and he trashes me on his show.
If you guys didn't talk about Trump, you'd be good friends.
I like the man, but I don't know why he chose to pick a fight with me.
He's passionate about Trump, but you're passionate about anti-Trump. It's a perfect storm. You guys should never talk about politics, the two of you.
I wasn't trying to. He was the one that fucking started fucking arguing with me.
All I know is it would be a great
show. And
the
funniest part to me, Chauncey, this is the funniest thing to me. And, you know, look, AJ, I don't want to fight you. I get heated in the moment. But I'll tell you this. He starts bragging on Facebook how he's worth $800,000. You know, he's getting all this money and he's making all this money. And then the next time I turn around, he's got COVID and sets up a GoFundMe to pay for his medical bills. See, I hate people that fucking bullshit like that. You know what I mean? You know,
well, listen.
If you hurt for money, fine. But don't lie and you know, and try and pretend you're a millionaire. You know what I'm saying?
Will you stop being
a pussy and just fucking, you know.
I like AJ. I got to realize AJ gave me my start. When I was started stepping out, I was kind of new in the business. AJ got me a job at the Daily News at Linda Stacy's gossip column. So I owe him, and I'll never forget it, you know. And he helped me so many times throughout my career. I can't let those kind of things get in the way of what he did for me. And he did so much, you know. So
look, he's not a bad guy. He's done my show. I just don't know why he picked a fight with me on Facebook. He didn't have to, but he decided to. I talked about it on the show. I said, I love AJ. I don't know why he's starting a fight with me. And then AJ immediately goes to text and starts trashing me. And it's just like, you know what, dude? Enough, okay? Enough. I wish him well. I don't wish any bad to him. I just hate when you have somebody who you think that, like, they're your friend, Chance, and then they just, like, go south on you.
These last few years have made so many friends enemies, and it breaks my heart. I've seen it so many times with so many people over these last 2 or 3 years. It's sad to see. I try not to talk politics with anybody because I hate it. I hate what it does to good friends. It breaks my heart. I read what you and it was at Scott DePace. Oh my God. Yeah. It breaks my heart. Like, you guys are buddies.
Why? Look, I'll always love Scott. See, that's a difference. Scott and I will call each other idiots and everything else. But it's not, like, personal. We're just believing what we believe. AJ came after me with, like, just texting me, Jillian Barber doesn't like you, you know, because you're a day drinker. I'm like, you know, what the fuck?
It got personal.
Yeah, it's like, really, AJ? Really? Yeah. I mean, like, you're going to start... Like, out of nowhere, he starts, like, you know, like, getting like that. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's too bad because we all go back so fucking far. All of us go back to another world, you know? So we all got to get along. We got to get along. We come from a world that doesn't exist anymore.
My door is always open, you know what I mean?
I hope you guys can figure it out. I love all you guys. I love you. I love it. I love, you know, I can't think of anyone I don't.
You don't love everybody. Okay. Baba Booey, you love him?
I don't hate him. I don't love him. I don't love him. I don't hate him. I have no animosity towards Gary. I feel sorry for Gary in a lot of ways.
Howard?
I don't hate Howard. I don't hate him. I don't even think, you know, if I wasn't doing your show, the only time I think about Howard, it makes me laugh. Like when we talk about his hair. Or the things that I know would make.
Oh, yeah, here. Mark P. Do you love Ralph?
No, I don't love Ralph. I always hate Ralph. I hate that motherfucker.
Good one, Mark P.
I hate fucking Ralph. I hate Ralph.
We all do.
I hate Ralph. And I'm 95% sure he's a homosexual. Like, I'm 95% sure. Motherfucker.
You know, Charles, I do this for all my Patreon members and my YouTube members.
Yeah.
At least they're here live, so they got it for free and everything.
Yeah.
But this is so, like, groundbreaking to me about the abortion and the fucking wig that I might have to post it publicly. You know, don't get mad at me, Patreon people, because I think you would all like that, because maybe I get some more Patreon people. But, I mean, that it's been awesome of you fucking revealing it, you know. But now let me ask you, which is what it took me 15 minutes to get to.
Yeah.
Howard says he's going to run against Trump. Now, let me just say this.
Yeah.
When Howard was going to run for mayor of New York or governor.
Yeah.
He wouldn't because he didn't want to release his finances. So now I ask you, Howard, shut the fuck up. You're not running. And by the way, if you ran, you're only going to, which I don't even think you can pull any votes from anybody because no one's going to take you seriously. But even if you can, then, I mean, all you're going to do is take votes away from Joe Biden because you hate Trump just as much as the rest of us.
John, can I tell you something? If Howard ran for president, anyone under 40 wouldn't know who the fuck he is. They wouldn't know who the fuck. He'd be some Jew from New York that no one's ever heard of. Like, Howard's time has come and gone a long time ago. People, we forget how old we are. Nobody under 40 thinks or knows much about Howard Stern. They just don't. They don't. When Howard went to Sirius, what was it, in 2006? Was that when he went? 2005, 2006? 90% of his audience didn't go with him. And it only got worse from there. Then Artie left. Then he started taking vacations. And his fan base just melted. It's gone.
Shadian said he went from like 11 million to 800,000 overnight.
Yeah, overnight.
And now Chance, I think it's about maybe 600,000 to 500,000. And I'll tell you this.
Right. That's right.
I mean, he's not relevant. But why do you feel bad for Gary?
I don't know. There's something about Gary.
When I
look at his face and I see the gray hair.
Where are those two singers with the guitar?
I see the gray
about Gary.
The gray mustache and those buck teeth. And even though he has all the money he ever needs and, you know, he has a great life up in Connecticut, I just feel like...
If his life was so great, why do you think he has a girlfriend?
Well, how long has he been married? 20 years? 25 years?
Money, how about 30, 40?
30 years? Yeah. Because I think any guy who has money that's been married for 30 years has a girlfriend. I believe that. If you have money and you've been married for 30 years, you have a girlfriend. And that's the average guy. That's the accountant. Now you have a guy who's the producer of the Howard Stern show who has connections and options. I guarantee you Gary is probably getting laid or his dick sucked or whatever's going on.
Well, that's the rumor. Would
that surprise anybody?
Look, that has been the rumor I've heard from various sources. And, you know, but look, I love Mary. And I always, you know, Mary, and I've said this before, so if your people heard it, I don't care. I'll repeat it, but I'll tell you, Chauncey. The only honest person, when I was leaving to do the Tonight Show, my last day at the Stern Show, I was in Gary's tiny office, the size of a fucking closet. And Gary had Mary on the fucking speaker. And Mary said the most honest and indicative thing of every person on that show. She said, John, we're so jealous of you.
Oh, because I believe
they
it.
Were.
I believe
Gary that. Was, Mary was, and fucking Fred was, and mm-hmm. everybody else, because I got the fuck out of that nightmare.
And that nightmare
is the Howard and Buchwald bullying fucking business campaign.
They couldn't believe it. It was like the Philippines dropped an atom bomb on New York City. Like they couldn't believe that you could hurt them that like that. They couldn't believe it. The power that they didn't think you had in an instant. It was amazing. Amazing.
But Mary was the only honest one.
Yeah.
You know, like Gary, I'm sure Gary told Mary that when they were fucking, you know, I mean, you know, yeah. like at Pillow Talk, you know, after he got done drooling all over the pillow. I'm sure he said, you know, I can't believe John got out. They all wanted to get out.
And you saw the pettiness. I think that was one of the first times you saw the real Howard. He couldn't control his pettiness. He couldn't control his anger at Jay Leno. Couldn't control it. And I think people began to see a crack in the armor. That's when I think people, if Howard was the Howard we all thought he was, he would have said, great. You know, John, you just left the best radio show in the world. I think you're an idiot, but good luck. You know, and that would have been the end of it. But the fact that he couldn't get over it, and it was clear he couldn't get over it. Never did get over it.
No.
Never got over it.
Well, that's what I love, like, with the trolls. Oh, John, you were nothing on the show. Well, if I was such a nothing on the show, why did Howard go ballistic for fucking a year on Jay Leno because he stole his guy? If I was so, you know,
right.
you know, like a non-entity on the fucking...
It tore his heart out. It tore his heart out, John. It did. It tore his heart out.
And by the way, I had one sincere conversation with Howard. After that last day, Chauncey, I was driving to do Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. And I called Howard because I heard he was mad at me. And I go, Howard, I heard you mad. He goes, John, I'm not mad at you. You know what? I should have had you sit in a Jackie chair. You know, I should have done things differently. And it was the first time in my life I actually talked to the real Howard. You got the remorseful Howard.
Yeah, yeah.
The one who admitted he made a mistake.
Yeah.
But then the next day, it's all trashing Jay, eventually trashing me, and trying to make my life miserable on my new fucking job. You know, which is such a... Look, the only thing I could equate it... Well, there's two things that I could equate it to, Chauncey. One, when Steve Carell, you know, a Jon Stewart correspondent, gets big, Jon Stewart's ecstatic for him.
Of course, yeah.
When Adam Sandler, a Lorne Michaels guy, excels, Lorne Michaels invites him back, you know, to fucking, you know, come on and host.
Right.
Not Howard, because he's so petty.
Petty, yeah.
So egocentric that he can't take it when someone goes out for greener pastures, more money, and more exposure. You know what I mean?
John, you know what I love the most? I think about Howard, and I laugh to myself. The first thought that comes to mind is when I did Neil Cavuto. Neil Cavuto at Fox asked me to come on for the whole hour to talk about Howard going to Sirius and if I thought he'd be a success or not. Now, I'm a thorn in Howard's side. He hates me at this point. Hates me. And of all the people he could have invited on the show at Fox News, I was the silver bullet to Howard's heart. And so he brings me on, and I do an hour trashing Howard and why everything that he's become, I talk about during that hour. Everything we see today, I predicted. And Howard was so enraged, he demanded equal time and went on Neil Cavuto for an hour the very next day.
Get out of here.
To combat everything I said, Howard on Neil Cavuto for the whole hour, point by point, saying why I'm wrong and he's right. Chauncey, it was the greatest 2 days of my whole life. And I remember him telling Cavuto, you would have been better off having Beetlejuice talk about me for an hour than Chauncey Hayden. he was so angry. He had to come on Neil Cavuto, and he gave the whole thing so much more attention. It was awesome. And I became an expert at getting under Howard's skin. I knew how to do it and be so subtle about it at times, too, that it was a mind game. It was a chess match. Howard loves playing chess, and I knew how to get into his head and fuck with him. To this day, I know how to do it. And that's...
Well, how are you doing it now?
Doing your show right now. You don't think he's going to be in Miami, you know, by his pool watching this on his cell phone?
He ain't going to Miami, not with Ron DeSantis there. He's going to stay in his house in Southampton.
That's right. Oh my God. But you know, he hears all this stuff. Of course he does.
Well, I know Bowie listens to every one of my shows. I know that as a fact because people close to Bowie know that on his drive home, he tunes into...
They can't resist.
Oh, the Bowie's obsessed with me.
Yeah.
Because he knows I speak the truth about Howard, and I think he, like, licks his lips a billion times and goes, John's right, but I can't say anything. Mickey Street says Howard gripes about Stuttering John leaving proves all his psychotherapy has been a waste of money, which is true. Why does he still go to therapy, Chauncey?
I think he needs it. He's a troubled guy, man. You think he's happy? You think he's with all his wealth and everything he has? You think he's a happy guy?
No,
he's not a happy guy. And what does that tell you? What does it tell you when you have that kind of power, that kind of success, and you're still unhappy? Means you're fucked up. You're fucked up. Howard's fucked up, man. He is. It's sad.
Chauncey, here's the thing. And I'll ask you this because it's a very simple question. If you are worth, and I know what Howard's worth because he told me pretty much.
Yeah.
If you're worth $1 billion.
Right.
You know, why not give Baba Booey, you know, Sal, Richard, fucking, you know, Fred, whatever. You know, I mean, Fred and Robin make decent, you know.
Yeah.
But like some of these guys, why not just give them $1 million?
You don't think they all think the same thing?
I know they do because any normal person would. Yes. But the Jason and Wills, who I love, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to say anything.
Nope.
They just know I'm right.
Because he knows.
Believe me, they'll watch this and go, John's right. But they can't do anything about it because they're so silenced by his bullying.
How long have they been there? They're glued to their seats at this point. And what are they going to do? They're happy to have a job. They're happy to have a job, and they're happy to be there. They could get a pay cut, and they wouldn't go anywhere at this point.
Well, they did get a pay cut.
By the way,
Chauncey, I'll tell you this. That's the one thing I didn't want. When people go, oh, John, do you regret leaving the Stern Show? First of all, no. I would have regretted it if I didn't leave. But can you imagine? I mean, just for me, like, you know, look, I like adventure. I like trying new things. You know, I did 15 years on the Stern Show. I'm an NYU film fucking and television major. And I have the opportunity to be a writer and announcer on a Tonight Show, one of the biggest late night shows.
No brainer.
I mean, could you imagine if I didn't do it? I would have regretted that decision for the rest of my life.
You would have. Of course you would have. Well, it never would have happened because there's nobody on that show that would have said no to that.
No. I mean, no. 500,000 a year as opposed to 75,000 a year. I mean, really?
Yeah. To be the voice of the number one talk show in the world.
Yeah. But Howard acted like a little fucking baby.
Yeah, well, you know what, John? How amazing is it that you had that opportunity and you took advantage of it and you had the guts to walk away? So you get to live with that. Howard gets to live with himself.
But here's the thing, Sean. But that's the thing. Like guys like Baba Booey. And I'm not discrediting him, but I am, because like that's his whole resume is Howard Stern.
He doesn't know. He doesn't
Jason
know.
Jason and Will, their whole resume,
right,
is Howard Stern.
They don't know if they could have done anything else. They'll never know. They'll never know.
Fred, his whole resume is Howard Stern. Robin, the whole resume is Howard Stern. That would fucking haunt me.
They don't know anything
else.
Know
that I only worked for one show, only experienced one adventure in my entire fucking entertainment career.
Right.
I would be fucking so upset.
Well, you know what? It's funny you say that, John, because when I left the show the way I did, I went through a period when I was very depressed about it because for 20 years, it became my identity. I got just Chauncey from the Stern Show. That's who I was. And I started to think to myself, and you helped me with this too, because you said something to me. You, because I think you kind of went through a period, a brief period, where it was a transition. And you said, you got to not look back. You got to say, fuck it, man. You know, you got to do something else and not look back. Put that show in your rearview mirror. And I started to do that. And I realized I got so much. I don't want to be a clown on the Howard Stern Show. I don't want to be a Chauncey's on the phone. I don't want to be that guy into my 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to do other things and write for magazines as a journalist. And that was never going to happen if I kept being that guy that had bologna thrown at his balls or something. You know, like I didn't want to be that guy. But I don't think I would have walked away from it if I wasn't forced away from it. So I look back, I'm grateful that what happened to me happened, And you're lucky to walk away from it. You're right. I feel bad for those guys that are still there that will never know who they are or what they are because all they've been is that.
Yeah. I think it's just for me, Chauncey, I'm going to be honest with you, and I've said this before. When I was with my girlfriend at the time, but now my ex-wife, 5 years in, I go, Susanna, I got to get out of here. I can't take it. I can't take the abuse. I can't take the low pay. And I got to figure it. I got to figure out a way out. Granted, it took me 10 years, but I got out.
Look at Grillo. Look at Grillo. How fucked up is that, what they did to him?
Awful. But that's the thing. Like, it. And you know what? Howard doesn't care.
He does not care. Nope. Doesn't lose a minute's sleep.
Not at all. And that, you know what, Howard? If you go into the therapist 4 times a week, you should up it to 7.
You know, at
some point, you got to look in the mirror and go, man, I was a scumbag. Do you know what I mean?
It was. I wonder if Beth ever says to him, hey, Howard, do you ever think you should do more for those guys? Do you think they ever have that kind of conversation, or she keeps her mouth shut and just plays with the cats?
Oh, you mean Beth?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She ain't calling him out for anything. Are you kidding me? No way. She'd be out the fucking door.
She'd be out the door.
Howard can't take any criticism. We both know that.
Yeah.
We both know that. I used to fucking argue with him on the air. I would fucking call him out for shit, and he would go fucking batshit crazy because he can't handle the truth.
No.
You can't handle the truth.
Right. And as he gets older, and you don't think he knows that he doesn't have listeners anymore, that he's got to know. Or do you think he's delusional and he thinks he's still relevant and that people still kind of care what he has to say?
I don't think anybody gives a shit about what he has to say.
Nobody does.
I don't personally give a shit.
Do you think he knows that?
I think he does. And I think it bothers the fuck out of him.
That's what I think too. I think the same thing.
That's why really he should have walked away 10 years ago.
That's right.
Guess what?
Yep.
It's all about the money. And that's another illness, Chauncey, that he should be talking to his therapist about.
There's never enough.
It's never enough because it becomes an illness, a sickness. Right. I want to be the richest. I want to have the most money. It's an illness.
If he gives Will a $10,000 raise, that's $10,000 he doesn't have anymore.
Look, Chauncey, here's the best story. Tim Sabian's story. And I'll close with this and I'll let you go. Please come back, though. This has been a great interview.
So at any time. I'll always come on.
Tim Sabian was arguing with Howard over JD's salary. JD was making, I can't stand JD, by the way, but he was making $40,000 a year. Tim said, come on, Howard, let's just get him $80,000. Let's double his salary. It'll make him happy. And not to paraphrase, but Howard said, fuck that, Tim. The only happiness I care about is my own.
That's
an illness, dude.
That's an illness.
That's a sickness.
It's a sickness. That's right. And it doesn't shock me. I know that's true. Yep.
Oh, that's so why you heard that too?
That's why I'd rather be talking to you now than be on his show on Monday morning. I'd rather be doing this than that. What does that tell you?
Well, because I'm an honest guy. Like, look, everything I talk about is the truth. And, you know, I'm one of the last fucking remnants of what the Stern Show used to be.
Hey, isn't that a great feeling, though, that you and I can talk about it? They can't. They can't say a fucking word.
No.
We can laugh and have fun with it and talk about it. Those guys can't. And you know they want to. You know they scream into the pillow at night.
No. I know, but they're so afraid.
So, Will and Jason. And they should be. And they should be.
They're so afraid.
Yeah, they live in terror.
Look, there's one thing that I always said, which the buoy, of course, because he doesn't have an original idea in his head. But I always say, we're working for the firm. Do you realize that? Because, you know, we got to go with what they tell us to do. And if we don't, then we're persona non grata.
Even if they suspect like you even if they suspect you don't, you know, and everyone's looking over the shoulder. I hope nobody thinks I did this. Or I hope nobody thinks I did that. Or you live in total fear. It's a fucked up way to live and have a career. Fuck that, man. I'd rather be doing this with you.
Well, Chance, I love you, brother. And, you know, please come on again. What are you doing now for a living?
I was working for OK Magazine. I was the weekend editor up until just last week, but I just retired. I retired. I'm done. I retired with a lot of money in the bank. I never have to work again, and I'm happy as fuck. I'm out of the business. I'm done. Done.
Good fuck for it. You, Chauncey. I'm very happy for you. And please come on again. Is there anything that you want to plug?
Nope. Just that. I'm looking forward to coming back to New York City November 23rd with my daughter, and we're going to tear the town up, man. I can't wait.
Take her to the Lion King. It's one of the best shows on Broadway.
We just got front row tickets to The Wizard. Or the what's it called? Yeah, The Wizard. Wicked. We just got
front row. That's great, too, but go to the Lion King, man.
I'm going to take her to all that stuff, man. She's going to have the time of her life that whole week.
What's her name?
Poppy.
Poppy? P-O-P-P-Y?
P-O-P-P-I.
Oh, nice.
Oh, John, one last quick story, because this is totally me, and you're going to laugh. So when I realized she was born and her name was Poppy, I went out and I got a tattoo. See if you can see it. I got this tattoo on my wrist, right? Let's see if I can show it to you.
It's fucking cool. I see it. Yeah.
You see it? Okay. Yeah. So
she was born like on January 12th?
Yeah.
How was her birthday?
Oh, no, she was born March 3rd. March 3rd.
Oh, but it said 1/12.
3/3/12.
Oh, here. Show me again.
Let's see.
I can't see.
Where's the camera?
Oh, 3/3/12. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So, anyway, so I realize I have a daughter named Poppy in Ireland. I go right out and I get a tattoo. And how do you spell Poppy? P-O-P-P-Y. So I have P-O-P-P-Y tattooed on my wrist. That's not how she spells her name. It's with an I. So I had my daughter's name spelled wrong on my wrist. And I had to figure a way to fix it. So I put the shamrocks there to...
Go the other way.
Hey, hold on a second. Let me see if I get this phone lined up, right?
No, yeah, that way.
So see the shamrock? That was a Y. That was a Y. I had to fix it. Otherwise, I had my daughter's name spelled wrong. I'm like, that's so me. That's so fucking me. Only me. Only me.
Yeah, but then again, it's you with the Nietzsche tattoo that you paraphrase.
Exactly. In the old days, Howard would have had a ball with that, right? Not only does he spell his tattoo wrong, then he gets his daughter's name on his wrist wrong.
Well, don't you remember when Howard had that lame-ass Capricorn tattoo and then realized it was so lame he had to make it cooler?
Right, right.
Put all this shit around it.
Right, yeah.
All right, Chauncey, thanks so much for coming on, brother.
All right, John.
I love you, pal. Have a great day
if I don't talk to you.
And best to you and your wife and your daughter.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
All right, take care. I'll see you.
Take care. All right, guys. Bye-bye.
Chauncey Hayden. Here on the Stuttering John Beer on the Balcony. I hope you all enjoyed it. I'm not going to put it public right now, maybe tomorrow, but right now it's only for my Patreon and YouTube members. Although the shit he told me, I never knew. The abortion and the fucking wig story. Are you kidding me? Holy shit. Anyway, I keep on doing this for you guys. For those who question, oh, why should I be a Patreon member? Now you know. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. at noon PST. Now I'm hitting the pub. Stuttering John saying good gear.